up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so I have to get to this story, and I wanted to do this right off the bat because I have a few pet peeves in sports that drive me crazy, and I hate stories that start with these headlines. Seventh grader offered scholarship. I don't want seventh graders offered scholarships. I don't want eighth graders offered scholarships. Right,
What did Alabama do now?
Okay, no. This one falls in the hands of Michigan, who offered a quarterback to us, offered a seventh grade quarterback a scholarship, according to his father. Isaiah Marshall is the kid's name, from MacArthur Academy in Southfield, Michigan. And according to his father, Michigan has offered him a scholarship. Now,
that
listen,
doesn't sound like anything Jim Harbaugh would ever do,
right? A lot of times these are done, you know, as publicity stunts. So I kind of know what they're I know why they're happening.
I mean, lately I've seen honorary scholarships offered to, you know, those kids who unfortunately may not have an opportunity to go to college.
Yeah, and a lot of times they're done like as feel good, like, hey, I saw you play. I want to extend an offer for you, and then, you know, it's not binding or anything, but. Listen, if you're a seventh grader and Jim Harbaugh, if this is true, and again, this is according to his father, so we'll take it for what it is. If this is true, if you're a seventh grader at a school and Jim Harbaugh offers you a scholarship, whether it's a publicity stunt or tongue in cheek, you're taking that as gospel, aren't you?
Like,
you don't know the context of it. Like, you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to be able to go to Michigan for free and play quarter, regardless of where I'm, of what I might be doing down the road. Right? So, look, I remember when I was a young lad, there was a basketball player in Indiana called Damon Bailey, and he was famously offered a scholarship by Bobby Knight to play for Indiana when he was like in sixth grade or something. It was crazy, but because he was a really good basketball player, even as a young lad. But every time I see these stories, again, I understand where they come from. I understand why these coaches do it. But can we stop doing it? Because it's a little spooky and it's a little creepy. And we don't need to offer seventh grade quarterback scholarships or the seventh grade point guard in some sort of YMCA league a scholarship or anybody else. Let them live and let them not get visions of grandeur just yet. Let them be a little grounded. Just ground them a little bit. Let them struggle a little bit first. SB Nation AM.
If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to giftingmap.com. The team at Gifting Map has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit giftingmap.com today. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, Michael on Twitter. Now I have a problem with you. I love the Filet-O-Fish sandwich. Michael, you don't love the Filet-O-Fish sandwich.
One loves the Filet-O-Fish sandwich.
That's what Big Burger wants you to believe. They want you to believe you love the Filet-O-Fish, but deep down you don't. You don't love the Filet-O-Fish sandwich.
I think of other fast food fish places. I mean, the only one I can think of is Long John Silver's. Is there ever a line?
No, you can go walk into any Long John Silver's and get what you want immediately, I think.
I've never been there.
I'm not a seafood guy. This is I will tell you something I'm embarrassed about. I'm embarrassed that I'm not a seafood guy. I don't like fish. I don't like I don't like shrimp. I don't like lobster. I don't like any of that stuff. And I feel terrible about that because.
Why? I'm not either. And I lived in Hawaii for 5 years.
I know. Well, okay. I feel bad about it because. Okay, let me just say this. I grew up in New England, right? Lobster rolls were a big deal. And I never liked lobster. I never liked seafood. Something about it I just don't like. And I would watch my friends eat a lobster roll and they would be like in heaven. I mean, it would be like no other eating experience I've ever had, other than maybe a double Whopper with cheese or whatever. I mean, they would eat this lobster roll and just go, oh,
and grinning ear to ear.
This is the most incredible. Yeah, my son loves everything shellfish, right? He loves shrimp. He loves crab legs. He loves lobster. He loves, and he eats it with just this passion. Like, oh my God, this is so delicious. And I'm jealous because I want to feel that way about that, those foods. And I don't like when I, you know, I don't like brook trout. I don't like salmon. I don't eat this. I don't eat it. And I should eat it. It's good. Keep hearing how great it is for me. And I'd probably live longer if I did, but I won't. And I won't eat it. And I feel bad. I feel terrible that I don't.
I'm the guy that, you know, when living in Hawaii, there was this restaurant we would go to all the time. Great, great seafood. And I know this because I would taste it. And, there was one seafood item that they had, which was ahi tuna sushi rolls. I mean, they were phenomenal. Yeah. It was like the spicy one. But I would never order it for myself. It would be like my wife would order it. And I was like, yeah, just give me one. I just need one, you know, one little slab and I'm fine. But I'm the guy who would go into a fish restaurant. I'm ordering the chicken.
Me too. I do it all the time.
Whatever type of meat is there, like, you know, if it's steak or whatever it might be, I might even opt for a pasta dish over ordering a plate of fish that this restaurant is known for.
Yeah, my wife is allergic to shellfish, and my son wants to have, you know, go to these places, and I'll have to just take him by my. And I order chicken. I order if there's a meat product anywhere on the menu, that's what I'll order. And I don't order. I feel bad because I wish I liked it because I feel like I'm an outcast because I don't enjoy these. Then foods.
For me, you know who else wishes I liked it is my wife.
No, oh, okay.
Because she loves fish. She never gets it. You know, it's like we go to restaurants. Like, it's got to be a hybrid, man. You can order your fish.
Right.
There needs to be something else on the menu. If there's just strictly fish, we ain't going.
Yeah, that's true. I know. I feel bad. So good, Michael, that you like the filet of fish. You might be keeping it alive in your particular area. But I don't see anybody ordering it when I go to my local Golden Arches. I just don't see people ordering the filet of fish sandwich. So Michael's one of the few people that likes the addition of the filet-o-fish sandwich.
I don't think he's in the minority.
I don't either.
Michael is probably – the filet-o-fish has been on the menu for years.
It's got to be popular. They haven't taken – look, what are restaurants do better than anything? They know trends, right? They know what works and what doesn't work. If they threw something together in a bun and nobody was buying it, they'd get it off that menu as quick as – listen, it's fish. It's another fryer. If it wasn't selling, they wouldn't keep it. So it must be doing success. It must be successful.
Just staying on a McDonald's kick real quick. You know, one of the weird things that McDonald's does cater to certain regions. Did you know this?
I do. I think there's certain places where you can get things that you can't get in other places.
Yeah, like in Hawaii, with most McDonald's, especially for breakfast, you can get spam and eggs.
Oh, can you?
And rice.
No, that's awesome.
And it was, it's weird when you go there and you're like, oh. And, you know, they have a different flavored milkshake that you won't find anywhere else.
Okay. Pineapple?
No, taro.
What's that?
It's kind of like a purple potato.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, but it's a little sweet on the sweet side. I mean, okay. I didn't mind the bread so much. It was pretty good. But other than that, I wasn't a big fan of it.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It's the potato used to make one of the main ingredients in poi.
Oh, I got
you. You really got to have a taste for poi.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. You remember McPizza? Remember they came out with that a while back?
No.
You don't remember McPizza?
No, I don't.
They did that for a little bit. It was like a very brief run. They used to have a burger where they had the hot side was hot and the cool side was cool. Like it was in this special styrofoam container back when they used to have those before we realized we were killing the planet, I guess. And you would just have they would have the lettuce and the tomato on one side and then the hot burger on the other side. You'd bring it together.
Been a big styrofoam. That was definitely killing a lot.
Yeah, it was definitely
killing the ozone.
Killing the ozone layer. Remember when I was all scared of that in the 80s? Killing the ozone layer.
I'll be honest with you. That was a cold shock when I got when I first moved to Houston 5 years ago. That they still serve drinks in styrofoam cups.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, because we were all told styrofoam was terrible, right? Weren't we told that it was?
Yeah, I'm from an era where it's going to be illegal to have straws. I'm thinking to myself, like, you know what? Pretty soon, my mom who lives in Southern California, she can't buy straws. I'm like, man, could I send contraband via mail and have it be a straw?
I went to a restaurant the other day here in Tennessee where not only did I get a straw with my drink, every time she brought me a refill, she gave me another straw.
See, there you go.
So we, at one point, with the four of us at the table with the number of refills, we had probably 20 straws on the table, like, at one point.
Good on you, California, for taking the stand against straws, but the rest of the country...
making up for the...
the straw business alive.
Keeping the straw business alive. I went... She's given each one of us a refill with a straw. Then my son had like four drinks and he's gotten four straws. And I'm like, it's like 20 straws at this table. It's crazy. We don't need this. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. Straw business. All right. I want to get to comments made by John Elway of the Broncos on his hire of Vance Joseph. What he really meant when he told Peter King he had made a mistake. We'll tackle that next, coming up on SB Nation AM.
From Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, folks, forecasters say that we're in for a cold, wet winter and spring. Cars and trucks don't do well in extreme cold, so you really need to make sure yours is ready. First, have your shop check the cooling system and do a flush if it needs it. Have them take a close look at the belts and hoses. You know, if they're over 6 years old, they really should be replaced. If either fail, you're on the side of the road and it could also kill your engine. With this rainy weather, you need to replace your wiper blades while you're thinking about it. You know, it's cheap insurance on a rainy night. And don't forget the battery. Batteries aren't lasting near as long as they should. They're fine one day, and they're dead the next. If yours is over 3 years old, you're lucky. I'd have it checked and replaced before it fails. You know, mine failed after 2 years, and it really ruined my day. Hopefully, these tips will save you time and money, folks. This is Mike Herzing with Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com, and also look for Let's Talk Wheels on Facebook.
Choose a new path this year at the Jeep Start Something New event, where you'll find great deals are just the beginning of the great adventures. I was made for this. Make a grand entrance in the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, because a brand new year means you deserve a stylish new look. And nothing looks better than confidence, which you'll find plenty of in the Jeep Compass. With over 70 standard and available safety and security features. If it's a new peak you're looking to conquer, find the SUV recognized for reaching the top in the Jeep Wrangler, awarded the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Or, if all you need is a getaway, start your road trip in a Jeep Cherokee with up to 31 mpg highway. But no matter where the new year leads you, start it with a great deal at the Jeep Start Something New event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm, from choosing the right antifreeze to for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades. Very important. O'Reilly will get your vehicle in fighting shape in the cold weather ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, John Elway made a rather, what I would call a rare admission. We do not see general managers make this kind of admission when firing a head coach. John Elway telling Peter King of Football Morning in America, quote, "I talked to Vance Joseph before the process a couple of years ago and knew him. And going in, I had an idea that he was our kind of guy. I admit it. I was wrong on that one. I don't like to say it out loud because I don't want to offend VJ, who is a good football coach, but things didn't work out." You do not hear general managers say this. You do not hear general managers say things after making a decision to fire a guy. It's all done on a level of respect, right? General managers do not say, "Man, that guy wasn't good. That guy didn't work out. That guy." You just go, "You know what? We wish him well. We wish him well in his new endeavor." The assumption is he didn't work out, which is why you're looking for a new head coach in the first place. It doesn't, you don't need to reiterate that point. It seems like that's, and that seems to be true across the board in all of sports. You let a coach go. The assumption is it didn't work out. The assumption is the record wasn't what it was supposed to be. The assumption is a change needs to be made. Elway coming out and saying he was wrong and admitting that he was wrong is a very rare admission by a general manager or a football president or a football president of operations, whatever the title is. And the reason is because at the time the decision was made, that's what was made. It didn't work out. Now we move forward. It's sort of like there's no real reason to admit anything. We gave it a shot. It didn't work out. Time to find a new guy. So why is John Elway doing this? Why is John Elway, of all people, doing this? Why isn't this being done by a young general manager who needs to remind his fan base that he's got a handle on it? Why does John Elway, of all, again, of all people, a two-time Super Bowl champion, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, why does he feel the need to admit to Peter King that he made a mistake? Why? It's because the way John Elway has that team right now, it is a mess. It is a mess, but it's getting better. It's getting better. Vic Fangio was hired to be the head coach. They still need an offensive coordinator. Gary Kubiak was supposed to run the offense. Instead, he's out the door. Right now it's a disorganized mess, but this is a rare admission here because again, for John Elway to come out and say, I made a mistake when his whole life is football and his whole mindset has been football. I think this is an honesty that we just don't see. I'm not praising it and I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying we don't see it. It's very rare because, again, like he said, I don't want to say it out loud because I don't want to offend VJ. Well, you did say it out loud. You did. And look, as Ron and I have pointed out many times, this is a closed league. If you can get in, it's a great fraternity to be in. You're going to bounce around. Didn't take Vance Joseph very long to find an assistant coaching gig, a coordinator gig. I think he's going down to Arizona. You get into this, you stay in this. Guys get recycled all the time. It's just don't buy rent because you're going to be on the move and on the move a lot. So for Elway to come out and admit this, it's a tough admission to make because remember, he is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever and was brought in as the guy that can fix this back in 2011.
Were the Broncos hoping that John Elway would be similar to what Ozzie Newsome has been doing with the Ravens?
Exactly. Well, I'll give you a little background because I was in Denver at the time. There was a moment where the Broncos organization hired Josh McDaniels, right? Josh McDaniels back in 2009 when he was hired was the coach everybody wanted. Everybody wanted Josh McDaniels and he was the hot coach. So there was no problem with hiring him. When he got there, he immediately wanted to get rid of Jay Cutler. He immediately wanted to bring in his own guy. That led to the trade of Cutler to Chicago with Kyle Orton coming in. McDaniels wanted Matt Cassel. I mean, he immediately started making waves and he immediately started making a power grab within the organization. And people were a little uncomfortable with that. Shanahan had all the control because he had earned it over the years. McDaniels wanted all the control from the second he got there. But nevertheless, the Broncos started 6-0 in 2009 and finished 8-8. So it started off great, and then it kind of tailed off, and they didn't make the playoffs. In 2010, the optimism was still high. He drafted Tim Tebow in the first round. That had everybody scratching their head, but nevertheless, it's McDaniels. If there's a guy that can make it work, it would have been McDaniels. But then the season really started to unravel. They started to lose games and lose games bad. And then there was an incident in London where they were playing San Francisco, and the Broncos were accused of filming the walkthrough practice of the 49ers. It became Spygate 2, at least locally. So it became an issue because the Broncos were being accused of cheating with the guy that was on the Patriots at the time when the Patriots were accused of cheating in 2007. So the optics were terrible. And then they lost to the Raiders, giving up like 58 points at home to the Raiders, which, you know, you don't lose to the Raiders and you don't get blown out by the Raiders. And they did. So they fired McDaniels late in the season and Eric Stuberville took over the team. But the organization was embarrassed. The organization was a mess. Fans were just screaming because this was not what they wanted, of course. And Pat Bowlen the owner of the team has a standard, right? The Broncos are never a year or two away from getting back to the playoffs. You can have a dip, but you better be right back in the postseason. And they were not looking very good. They had already gone 3 years without making the playoffs. This is why Shanahan got fired. And now McDaniels had gone 1 year without making it. And then it was a disaster the next year. So it was this 5 year period of a complete mess. So what happened was John Elway was brought in because, one, he's John Elway. And two, he actually did a fantastic job with the Arena football team. The Colorado Crush had won a championship. So Elway was looking to get a little bit more, you know, extend his football tentacles even more. But it wasn't a PR move in the sense of, hey, let's just bring in the local sports hero and see if he can do this. It was, let's bring in the local sports hero who we know can do this. And then that will remind people, hey, we mean business. John is here. With John is here, we are trying to fix. We recognize we have wrong. We recognize there's a problem. John is here to fix it. Well, what has John Elway done? Well, he did two things magnificently, right? He did two things fantastic. One, he convinced Peyton Manning to come to Denver, which, look, everybody could land Peyton. Everybody would want Peyton Manning, but there was only John Elway that could convince Peyton Manning that Denver was the place. The Titans really had him locked in. The Titans convinced Peyton Manning that staying in the division was going to be worth it. You have family here, and that his wife was from Chattanooga, and they still had a home in Tennessee. He was a football god because he played for the Volunteers. I mean, there was a crowd outside the facility the night he was interviewing with the Titans that was cheering and chanting Rocky Top when he left. He gave him the fist pump when he got into the car. Bud Adams at the time had given him a job for life with the Tennessee Titans organization if he would come play football. It was being reported in Nashville that he was going to sign the next day, and then John Elway makes the coup because John Elway convinces Manning that he knows how to play late in his career. You want to play late in your career? I did it. I won two Super Bowls late in my career. We can do this, and we can do this here. But the other thing Elway did that was brilliant that earned him like just high marks around the league was that after getting blown out in the Super Bowl, said, we're changing this football team. He had had the most potent offense in NFL history. He had one of the best offenses to ever see the field, and it got blown out by the better defense. And he said, listen, if I'm going to win a Super Bowl, I need that. Whatever that is over there in Seattle, I got to get that. So he reorganized the Broncos to play better defense, and that's one of the reasons they won Super Bowl 50. After that, he whiffed on Osweiler, Trevor Siemian. He whiffed on Paxton Lynch. He whiffed on Case Keenum now. He has got a team that is Gary Kubiak has now left to work for Minnesota. That's his security blanket. But something went wrong there in that conversation about taking over the offense. He has whiffed on Vance Joseph. He brings in Vic Fangio. He has to get that right. The team has back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since the 70s, since the early 70s. And it is now a mess. This admission to Peter King, this is you just don't hear guys that are, you know, on that upper stratosphere of celebrity admitting. I mean, for him to come down to say, hey, I admit this. I wonder if this is a telegraphed message to the fan base. Hey, guys, I recognize it. You know, Bronco fans are a passionate fan base, and they see what they see. I wonder if he's telegraphing a message. Don't worry, I get it. I'm not dumb enough to think that Vance Joseph needed more time, or Vance Joseph was the right decision and just didn't work out. He was the wrong coach. He was the wrong personality that this team needed to get back to the Super Bowl. But it does put throw Vance Joseph under the bus. This is one of the reasons this is not done. It's just not done because there's a level of respect from top to bottom. Don't kick a guy on his way out. He's just going to go land somewhere else. You just kind of roll up your hands and go, all right, whatever, we move on, right? You don't kick a guy on his way out. I never heard one person in the Broncos organization, and maybe they did to other media members, but I didn't hear at any press conference when I was there of them throwing Josh McDaniels under the bus when they fired him. It was, nope, didn't work out. We wish him the best. And he was a mess. So this is a weird admission from Elway. This is not something I expected from him. Because again, it's two things. One, it's saying to a group of people, I made a mistake. Don't worry. I know I made a mistake. But it is also publicly admitting that a coach didn't work out when people don't make that admission at all out of respect.
Now, do you think it was just like himself trying to add clarity to all the Bronco Nation?
I think it was. I absolutely
and
think
not,
it was.
Not trying to save face, but just offering an explanation like, listen, I'm hearing you guys.
Yeah,
I'm hearing what you're saying, because he still feels like he is one of them.
All my friends in Denver, like, they'll post Broncos takes on Facebook or Twitter, and they all say the same thing. You blew it, John, or John, you better get your act together. Or John, look, that's a small sample size, I know, but that's magnified by a lot of people. They love John Elway, will always love John Elway, but he hasn't shown that in tough times he can right the ship. It's easy when you land Peyton Manning, you can win championships. It's when you don't have Peyton Manning, can you win championships?
Every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Did you see America's favorite head coach is off to the Jets? Greg Williams? Going to be working with Adam Gase? I knew he would land somewhere. What happened to the 11 teams that would hire him in an instant to be head coach if he was available? Don't we still have a team or two that's still waiting for a head coach?
Well, that wasn't the Dolphins or the Bengals.
Right, exactly. Well, how come he's not running over there? How come he's not?
They didn't want him.
Yeah, apparently not.
Okay, so speaking of NFL memes we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one with Adam Gase?
No, I haven't.
Where he's focusing on a taco?
Oh, no. Okay, yes, I've seen that one. Yes. Yeah. No. That is well done, by the way. That looks exactly like what would happen if there was a floating taco in front of your face and you did not know where it came from.
That's exactly right. I was laughing so hard when I saw it. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe somebody, and it's perfect to the Titanic music.
Oh, it's absolutely perfect to the Titanic. Everything goes good with the Titanic music.
I don't know, but do you think he's having second thoughts, like, man, or, looked at himself going, man, what was going on with me?
I wonder if it was like some cold medication or something like that. Like, he might've been taking something like, that affected his system. And it's watching it is just, it's a head twitch. He's not comfortable. His eyes are bulging. And again, I've seen Adam Gase in press conference. I've never seen him look like that.
I know he always wears a hat, but maybe that was the first time we got a clear shot of his eyes.
Yeah.
And maybe he's like that. I don't know. That was very, very bizarre.
He's never going to live it down. That's the one thing.
Of course
not. Right?
No.
You better embrace it and just have fun with it.
No, just like Ben McAdoo never lived down the suit.
Yeah, that's right.
The off-the-rack suit that he never had tailored.
That's right. That's right. Once the internet gets a hold of you, forget it. On a serious note, did you hear about the Tack McKinley in Los Angeles? So this story, Falcons defensive end Tack McKinley is undergoing mental evaluation. Police were called to his hotel in L.A. He played collegiately at UCLA. Here's what TMZ Sports is reporting. They said that their friends are concerned about his well-being. They summoned police. Now, I got to be honest with you. I think we've all had friends where we've been concerned about their well-being, but what takes you to call the police, right? When they really are going off the edge. A lot of times we have friends like going through a divorce. We've all kind of dealt with friends, loss of loved ones or something like that, where they're just, they need a friend. They need somebody to talk to. You talk to them. You go over their house late at night. Talking them through a really tough situation, job loss or whatever they're going through. But how many of us actually call the police because of what our friends are going through? So if your friend is going through something that causes you to call the police, that's a serious matter. He's going through a mental evaluation. The Falcons have acknowledged that the incident. Dan Quinn said that they'll do everything possible to support and assist him. He played 15 games, had 8 starts, had 7 sacks, led the team in sacks. I wonder what's going on.
Scary stuff.
It is scary stuff. What would...
I mean, you look at some of these guys and you would never think they have problems. It's like, oh, how do they have problems?
Right?
You're a professional football player. You're making, millions of dollars. If not, you're at least making, they all make about at least $1 million now, right? Even like,
Yeah.
Unless you're a practice squad guy, then you're still making six figures.
He was a first round pick. So he's definitely making millions of dollars
and, playing for a good team, a decent team, a team that went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago and any given season could find its way back. They just haven't been able to yet.
Yeah.
And so you think, you would assume that, this guy's on top of the world.
I remember in 2010, I think, or it was Kenny McKinley, who played for South Carolina, was on the Broncos team. He committed suicide. And man, we were just struggling with that, trying to process it, because people who knew him didn't seem to, he didn't seem to have a lot of trouble. He didn't seem like depressed or anything, just out of nowhere killed him. Then we, you know, the research comes out and you realize, oh, he had this problem. He had this problem. And then you kind of dig deep and you go, oh, he was dealing with this. He was dealing with that. But you know, at the time, it's not the public's business. It just comes out in stories. What happens later.
It always comes out in hindsight.
It always comes out in hindsight, right?
And then it becomes public business saying, oh, if we had only known, we could have.
Yeah, if we had only known. Yeah. Yeah, and I think at the time, and I don't want to disparage McKinley, so I want to be really careful here, but I think he was dealing with like financial issues. He was struggling with money or something like that, and he was struggling with a relationship, and so, but none of this was out. Like everyone who talked about him, you know, because I was in Denver at the time. We did we did segments with people who knew him and people who knew him in college, and he was a real friendly guy and was really open, but nobody brought up, well, you know, there's some personal matters that I know that I don't want to share. Nobody said that. Everyone said, oh my God, I'm as blown away about this. I'm really upset about this because it came out of nowhere. And then of course you do a little digging and people do a little digging because that's what they do. And they find out there's these stories. I just hope for his sake that his friends who were smart enough to get on with the police, to get the police involved where there's people around him now that want to say, okay, this is serious enough that we want to do whatever we can to support you. We want to help you with whatever you're going through. Something's wrong. And we are on top of it, that he gets the help he needs. Cause that's a serious story. I mean, you know, when your friends call the police, usually something's wrong.
Yeah. Usually means that he's just in a bad way. It's like, no, there's, I would hate to say it, but maybe there was an attempt already made.
Yeah, that might have been it.
You just hope not. I hope it's not that. I hope it's, just a preemptive strike, that he has really good friends who, saw the warning signs that, we're going to step in now before an attempt is made. But it's usually, as a friend, you don't, because you think you can handle it.
Yeah, you think you've got it, or you just want to walk them through it, or you just want to show support, but you don't see anything on top.
Or you don't want to say anything because you don't want to embarrass him.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you do bring it up, he just denies it, and you're like, oh, okay, you're right.
So, Tack McKinley, I wish you the best. I hope you get the help you need. Good season for the Falcons last year. All right, AFC Championship game, Arctic cold temperatures at Arrowhead Stadium coming up on Sunday. I'm looking forward to seeing how cold it's actually going to be. Now, is it going to be cold enough where they could take like a cup of water, throw it in the air, and it'll freeze before it hits the ground?
That'd be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, you know what this reminds me of was the buildup. What was it? Packers Giants.
Oh, that was, come on now, give me the year. 2008? Was that 2008?
This hasn't been that long, has it?
All right. Well,
please, God, no.
Okay.
That feels like last year.
That was Brett Favre. Were we talking about another Giants?
No, I was talking about like Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, okay. The Super Bowl. They went to the first Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Was that against Brett Favre?
Yeah. 2008.
That can't be right.
I think he threw a pick, because he always tends to throw picks.
That'd be a given.
All right, I'm gonna look it up, because I want to see what the temperature
was that game. Was the lead up to that game was all about the weather, and then it was like, oh, maybe not. And then when you finally got there, it was like, yep, it actually was that cold. And the only thing I can really remember from that game was Tom Coughlin's face looked like it was about to fall off.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it was so cold, his face literally was frozen and just bright red, and it looked like it was starting to peel away from his, like, his face was saying, dude, if you're not going inside, we are.
Yeah, it was the 2007 NFC title game played in January of 2008.
That's not right.
So, yeah, I know. That's 12 years ago.
Yeah, doesn't that feel like it was, like, 2 years ago?
It doesn't feel that long
ago.
Oh,
man.
This was frigid temperatures. And this was a night game, too. This was a night. They added a night game in Green Bay, which must have been fantastic.
Yeah, well, they probably felt okay doing a night game in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's right. They must have said, we got this.
It might be cold, but it could be in the 30s, the 40s.
We got this. We'll be good.
And think that, Santa had a different mind, saying, no, I'm going to send this Arctic blast to you guys.
Yeah, Green Bay, it was the Giants over the Packers in overtime, 23-20. It was played, here's the game weather for that game. It was minus 18 degrees Celsius, minus 1 degree Fahrenheit, and with clear skies. It was frigid.
Minus one.
Frigid.
That's what we're going to see Saturday night or Sunday
minus
night.
-1.
Why do I keep saying Saturday night?
It should be reversed. Shouldn't it be minus 1 degree Celsius, minus 18 Fahrenheit? Does that feel right? Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. It feels
I mean, if you think, no, I
100
think
degrees
right.
Celsius is boiling. zero is freezing.
Yeah, but 32 degrees Fahrenheit's freezing. And
okay,
so
yeah,
212
you're right.
degrees Fahrenheit is boiling.
You're right. Okay,
I don't know why I know that.
Minus 1 degree Fahrenheit, minus 18 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Celsius always seems to be further away than Fahrenheit.
The game was played in frigid conditions with a game time temperature of zero, minus 18 Celsius, with a wind chill of minus 23 Fahrenheit. The Giants were unable to score a touchdown in two drives into Packers' territories, had to settle for field goals. Golly, Lawrence Tynes kicked the game-winning field goal in that game. God bless him for being able to kick the ball. Are you kidding me?
It had to be close. It had to be like a 29-yarder.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to figure out.
I'm pretty certain it wasn't a 50-yard field goal
to
win the game.
No way was it a long field
goal. You can't kick a lead rock that far.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call. Boy, they've been together forever. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call. That was 12 years ago. My gosh. God, I remember I was at an Avalanche hockey game that night, and we were in a suite as a station because we carried the Avs, so it was station night, and we watched the game, and I remember thinking, I'm toasty warm in the Pepsi
you're
Center.
You're warmer watching an ice hockey game.
I'm not going there. I'm not going to be at Green Bay freezing to death. Are you kidding me? Good Lord.
Now, did they do the stupid thing where they open the window? So they too could.
I think they did.
In the cold.
Yeah, I think they did.
If the players are doing it, so will the announcers.
Nothing better than seeing announcers all bundled up in the open window of a playoff game.
Well,
that's what
it's probably one of those
weekend.
Things too, where I mean, you know what, you're still wearing a jacket. You might still be wearing gloves because no matter what you can be inside. The heat's just not working for you.
Yeah,
it's just not. You know, cold weather sometimes stops heat.
I know. It's just like it breaks the heater breaks.
Yeah, it just
right? never works.
Like, you can have that heater on full blast and like, man, it is still cold in here.
Yeah.
What they should have done is just do like, you know, little fire in a barrel.
Yep. Yeah.
Broadcast over that.
And then everybody sing while they go like in Rocky. Just, you know, everybody sing tunes. Man, some frigid temperatures coming into Arrowhead Stadium. I just want to see how it affects the game. That's all. I still hope we get the Patrick Mahomes dazzle razzle football that we've come to expect.
You know we will.
We'll get
something at some point, and it'll just add more to the mystique of Mahomes.
How do you prepare for it? You can't, right? I mean, unless you're outdoors in the exact temperature, you just got to, you know, grin and do it.
Well, because, I mean, even if you don't, like, here in Houston, I mean, we're going to experience the same type of weather pattern that Kansas City's having, right? Tomorrow and Friday, it's almost shorts and T-shirt weather.
And then it's going to get
plummet? Then Saturday into Sunday morning, Houston is expected, Sunday morning to be in the 20s with the wind chill bringing it down into the teens.
Okay, what kind of super villain machine are we talking about here that is doing that to the weather?
Russia.
Like I feel like there's don't you feel like there's like a small bald-headed guy, you know, petting a cat in a chair going, with my weather machine, I rule the world.
I'm not going to label anything, but China did just go to the moon for the first time.
Okay, so let's bless the middle of the country with gold air.
Yeah, that's like a James Bond type of thing.
Exactly.
Going on, right?
Like some sort of weather satellite is beaming freezing weather into one particular location of the country.
Exactly. I mean, literally, like in a 24, maybe 36-hour span for the city of Houston, it's going to go from 77 degrees down to 24 degrees.
That's a science fiction movie.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll give you a travel warning. Stay out of Houston because everyone's going to be sick.
Go get your water and bread and cereal and go raid the shelves. Are you kidding me? That is apocalyptic. To go from I can play golf in the afternoon and then chop wood and burn everything to stay warm at night. What are we talking about here? This is insane. Oh, my God. And watch it. In Kansas City, after the game, it'll be balmy, sunny skies with a temperature of 62 degrees in downtown Kansas City.
Yeah,
break out the shorts and
days.
The lawnmowers. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm not done with this. I'm done with this weather. I can't predict it. It's ridiculous. 800-777-2907, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we know we talk about the frigid cold weather in Kansas City coming up this weekend. They are playing in a dome in the NFC. Listen, I don't root for either team. I like the Saints. I like the Rams. I'm looking at this trying to be big picture. If you are looking for the better story, is it Sean McVay and the Rams, this young team? Remember, Jeff Fisher was mediocre with the Rams, and here comes Sean McVay, and 2 years later they could be in the Super Bowl. Or does Drew Brees, to me, is such a likable quarterback. He's such a I just like watching him play. I'd like to see him get to the next level of quarterback elitism as we kind of define it. I don't know if we're right or wrong to define it. We tend to do it with titles. It may not be the right way to go about it. Dan Marino doesn't have one. John Elway almost didn't have one. Can you imagine if John Elway didn't go to the Super Bowls of those later parts of his career? I mean, he was an underdog. They were a road team. The first Super Bowl that they went to when they beat the Packers, they were a road team. They went on the road to Kansas City and won. They went on the road to Pittsburgh and won. If they had not gone to any of those Super Bowls, Elway would have been 0-3 and humiliated 0-3 for his career.
Would we hold him in the same respect?
Right.
The same in high respect.
Yeah, I mean, we've given Dan Marino enough accolades, but the problem is when talking about Dan Marino, the conversation is always didn't win a Super Bowl, right?
All the numbers are
great. Only went to one.
His rookie year.
And remember, everybody said at the Super Bowl 19, and everybody said, you'll see this young man back in this game. He was tearing up the AFC with the passing yards. Tearing up the AFC. And you were just confident. Oh, you'll be seeing this man back in the Super Bowl. Never saw him again. Never saw him again. Now, Breeze has got his Super Bowl title, but I want to put him on that second level. I want to see him get to the double multiple championship level that we sort of separate the champions from.
Yeah, he's got to have just as many as Eli.
Yeah, exactly. Right or wrong, I know there's debate on either way. But that's just what we do. For the elites, we like them to have multiple Super Bowls. It may not be the fairest way to do it, but that's the way we do it. SB Nation AM.